listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to LA Talk Radio, this episode of Your Ultimate Life, the show that's dedicated to you, to help you love yourself, live your best life, and have purpose, prosperity, and joy. And I love the people I get to have on the show. Today, I have a fabulous guest. His name is Bradley. Bradley, welcome to the show. Bradley Morris.
It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me on today. Hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody. So Bradley has a whole pile of amazing stuff that he has done and is doing. And I had the opportunity to interview him on my other show, my podcast, which will be out. I'll give you the number because you really need to go, and it'll be out in a few weeks. It'll be out on June the 9th. And it's episode 1124. And I would encourage you to do it because even though he's on both shows, we're going to talk about some completely different stuff. And some of the things we discussed on the other show were just amazing. But you're going to miss him today because we're going to do other stuff. So do that. Episode 1124 on my podcast, Your Ultimate Life. Bradley, I want to start with talking about some of the cool things you've done. Now, you've mentioned before, just when we were talking and on this other show, an agency that you run and that you've helped many, many businesses grow, have bigger reach, make more money, you know, do the things that online coolness, everybody wants to have. So talk a little bit about magic, your magic studio, and tell me a little bit about how that works.
Yeah. So the majority of my career for 22 plus years has been at the intersection of education, entertainment, and human transformation, with media being the vehicle to teach and transform. So Magic Media is our creative and coaching consulting agency. And I've worked with thousands of, I would say, independent educators, people that are teaching their gift, you know, that are doing the thing that they were designed to do. And help them build their platform, their media library, their intellectual property, help them to so that they don't have to be with their megaphones speaking into the void of social media. How do we design strategic partnerships off of social media so that we can seek out the win-win in every relationship that we engage in as business owners, as creators? And so I've been doing that for the last dozen or so years, because in the earlier stages of my career, I had some things take off, and that led a lot of entrepreneurs and people in similar lanes trying to figure out how to do what I did. So I built an agency around that, and that agency has been serving a lot of people over the years, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been one of the ways that, like, I've been able to leverage skill sets that I've developed over the years from my own trial and error process and help other people creatively strategize alternative approaches to building their business, making their impact in the world, and obviously generating revenue so that they can live the lifestyle that they're trying to build a business to support.
You know, one of the things I know you did in the earlier part, that earlier part of years before the last 12, is you did a bunch of music, meditation music and so forth. I don't know very much about your musical skill, your chops, the instruments you play, why you did that stuff. So, and I'm a musician, and so I'm genuinely curious about that. Tell me about your music, about what you play, and all the rest.
Okay, so this is me. One of my greatest musical talents is I can fart box. So I play my hand instrument here. So that's some of my musical talent right there. So the meditations that I put out, it was guided meditation.
There's no meditation like that, right?
No, that's not in the library. That was grade 9 art class. And if you can believe it, I almost failed art class learning that skill. It's unbelievable. I don't think the teachers understood the talent that they were witnessing. But yeah, my musical talent. So I would say I'm a late bloomer in my musical experience. I've put out I made a meditation hip hop video. We made a hip hop video for one of the games that I'm the co-creator of, playcheeball.com. So we did a hip hop video. I'm a cheeballer for that last year. I did a hilarious hemp food video for my buddy's hemp company years ago, called the Happy Hemp Song. But the meditation library that I created, a world-class audio library after teaching about 500 workshops. And I was not the composer. My buddy Blair, who's one of our producers at Magic Kids still, he did all the custom music for this. I did the vocals and the guided meditations, and that particular library got picked up by mindvalley.com, and I became number one on that for 5 or 6 years before they bought the rights to it, and I licensed it to a bunch of other platforms. But I would say, like, I love writing lyrics. I love making music. I love getting into the studio and producing with my extremely talented musician friends, but I am not an extremely talented musician. It's one of the pieces that are on my bucket list for this next chapter of my life is to become more talented in my musical capacity.
But you're already producing. I've owned a recording studio, like I said, since the late 80s. And so, 40 years. And back in those days, 2-inch tape and all analog gear and everything else. And there were no digital stuff, no computers. But I used to do a lot of work with rap and hip hop artists. I wouldn't let them do the gross stuff. I tell them they had to change their lyrics or go record it somewhere else just because that wasn't who I wanted to be. But I learned a lot about that kind of stuff. And one of the things that made me successful in the studio was my ability to use all the gear, drum machines, and keyboards, because I am a keyboard player, so I could do all the parts for them, right?
Fine.
But the production piece that you've just described and the lyrics and overseeing and seeing where the parts go and everything is such an important piece. And so when you say I need to develop my musical talent, maybe you're referring to a specific instrument, I don't know, but that is already a big deal. If you did pick an instrument, what are you going to learn how to do?
Yeah, I mean, I play a little bit of guitar. My son, he just got an electronic drum kit, which I've been having a blast on. And our next studio, we will have like a full-on production space for doing professionally produced music of all kinds. We got an amazing studio that we'll be building in the next year here, which will force me to up my game because I'm going to be having all of our producers in the studio and we'll be making all sorts of different music for Magic Kids, which is our audio entertainment platform for kids. And that's going to force me to up my game. So
I can't wait because I'm going to come and see your studio. Like I've
that
had
sounds great.
recording studios of all kinds for decades that I built and had people build, vocal booths and soundproof, this, that, and the other. And I've designed them. I never did the building either, but I designed the studio. So we've got that to share in common. Really cool. So you worked with somebody and created a world class. What made it a world class meditation library? Like, what was it that set it apart? Because Mind Valley's not a small deal. Mind Valley's a big deal. I remember when Vishen got out of the marketing business and got in the publishing business and created Mind Valley. And if he, picked up your library and it became number one, that's a big deal. So what
That's a
made
big
it
deal.
such a, it is a big deal. So what made it world class?
Well, this flavor of meditations that I was facilitating were called Cowabunga meditations. This was my own flavor that I designed over years of practice. And then, over the course of 3 years, I taught 500 plus workshops. So I was leading groups all the time at that particular chapter in my life. And I actually got denied by Mind Valley 5 times before they finally picked up my library. And then that was when I quickly rose to the top on their leaderboard because their app used to have a leaderboard of like, here's the top 25 tracks inside the app. I don't think they have that leaderboard anymore. But what made it great was we had a lot of different style of techniques that I was teaching through my own practice and things that I was teaching in the groups that I was leading. So I was from breath work to toning to different guided visualizations. There was, a meditation for every occasion was kind of the intention behind it when we built the library. It was professionally produced. And so we did it in a beautiful studio. It was done very well. There was 48 tracks. And then I think one of the most magical pieces is Blair, who's one of my good buddies. We've been producing together for 14 years now. He's an unbelievable magician when it comes to anything musical and technical and production. I lovingly call him the Great Blair Dini, because he pulls off so much magic in the projects that we've worked on together. And so I would just say it was a timing piece. It was the style and quality. That library now it's served well over 10 million meditators. Like, it's still growing every month. And it seems like it's one of those things. When we created it, the intention was, because I was stepping away from that part of my life of teaching meditations and touring and doing all that stuff. And we moved to a rural island. I didn't want to be traveling anymore. We were about to start building our family. And so I was like, I want to create a world-class audio library that feels like the legacy part of this chapter in my career, where it's like, because I made a huge impact in people's lives when I was touring and doing all those workshops and teaching. And I didn't want to step away from that part of my life without like creating a way for that body of work to live on without me. And I also wanted to build passive income into my life so that I could go do other creative things. And so I was very intentional. We spent 18 months producing the library. It was a huge project. All of that was out of pocket. And then when I finally got the licensing deal, that led to more licensing deals, which, you know, ultimately led to significant passive income and massive impact in people's lives around the world. And that led to the next thing, which was building the creative agency.
All right. So I want to stop you there, because I want to do this in pieces. As sure. You talk about business and helping people. So you said something really important. I was doing a thing. It was a thing that I not only was really good at, but I was internalizing. So you were practicing meditation and it mattered to you. It made a difference in your life. True or not true? Okay. True. So you were teaching a thing and you lived the thing. And the reason I made that distinction is because so many people learn how to do something and they teach it, but it is not integrated into their lives. They're teaching about a thing instead of being the thing.
Yeah.
And that makes a huge difference in the energetic attraction that stuff has for people. Because when stuff is embodied truth, it feels different. I don't care if you never talk to the person. There's some energy in it that does that. Listeners, you can think I'm weird, but it's true. All right. Then you said, I wanted to create a legacy piece. When you help businesses grow their IP and library, and you said help make videos, like that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Isn't it? You're helping them create stuff that they can use for passive income and perhaps get licensing and other kinds of stuff. Is that true? Or am I out of?
How do we leverage our life's work? So part of the creative agency is like looking for leverage points. And so there's leverage points and assets we've developed or could develop. So building an intentional library to license it to other platforms to build, you know, passive income streams, and also to create an impact through all these different platforms. That was my intention when building the library, but there's also leverage points within relationships. So I love partnerships. I've built my whole career around strategic partnerships, because when I left social media like 10 years ago, I was forced into re-looking at relationships in general. How does relationship actually function personally as well as strategically in business? And so when I left social media all those years ago, I looked at, okay, how do I build the business and lifestyle that I want from having 10 strategic relationships instead of needing a million fans and followers, which is what everybody's chasing on the internet, is they're all trying to find their million fans and followers. And I can say with certainty, you can literally build the business of your dreams through a small handful of strategically aligned people or companies that you figure out the sweet spot leverage point, where everybody's bringing something unique to the table and you're creating something that could not be done had you tried to go it alone and do it by yourself, which is what most people do, is they build in their silos, whereas there's a whole world waiting for collaborations. And that's, you know, that partnership with Mindvalley was my first introduction to like the power of leverage and licensing. And because I own the library, I licensed it non-exclusively, I still had permission to go put it on a bunch of other platforms, which is what I did.
Yeah. And so I want you listeners to this. I want you to go back and listen to this section again, because he's just given you a masterclass in exploring how to grow, how to create your IP, how to create a legacy library, and then how to leverage that library with aligned strategic partners where you're not competitors, but you're collaborative, cooperative, coopetition, as it were, where you can grow things that you can't do individually. And so I want you to mark this piece, and the recording will be up on the site tomorrow. You can get to go back and listen to that, because that was a masterclass in this. All right. So you did that. You got some licensing agreements that created some good passive income. And you were number one for a long time in their platform. So, of course, they wanted to buy the rights so they could get a piece of this too, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, and then it was non-exclusive. And that was important too, because that allowed you to license it in on other platforms as well. So then that allowed you to build an agency, because by then people are saying, hey, Bradley, how do you do that? What did you do? I want to do. Can you help me? Blah, blah, blah. So talk about that.
It's kind of the story of a bunch of parts of my career. Is like, I didn't go seeking to be a meditation teacher. I was just meditating a lot. I was deep in my practice, and people noticed the shift over a couple of years. And a friend said, hey, could you do a small group meditation? And that I said, sure. You just tell the people, I'll show up and I'll teach you some of the techniques that I do. That one session led to 500 3 years later. And then, you know, the same thing sort of happened, is like from the success of momentum I was starting to build with some of the comedy videos I was making. First video I ever put on YouTube went viral. I was very lucky. And so that's a unique experience that led to hundreds of media gigs. I kind of took off with my career. And so people, you know, all of these different entrepreneurs who were trying to do good in the world and figure out how to get their work out there started coming to me. And so that was when I started my coaching business. And I quickly learned within the first year of doing business coaching and thinking I had to change myself in order to become a business coach, you know, wearing the buttoned up collared shirts and all the things. And I quickly learned that, like, in that next year that followed, that I was only going to be happy if I could figure out a way to merge my inner entrepreneur, which is highly creative and capable at coming up with solutions and products and creating, because that's just what I love to do. I feel like I was born to create. And my inner artist that wants to express, that wants to make something that people enjoy, that they're entertained by, that they might laugh at, that they might, you know, be inspired by the media. And so the last decade plus has been like, okay, how do I merge this entrepreneurial side of me that has drive, that has vision, that has the desire to make an impact in the world with how I make money, and this artistic side of myself that wants it to be creative and fun as I'm building all of these different pieces? And, you know, that led us to launch our kids audio entertainment creative learning platform, Magic Kids, 4 years ago. And that has been, you know, the funnest piece of my career so far.
All right. So we're skipping too many years. So I'm going to back up and get hooked into. So you did the meditation thing. People started coming to you to understand how you got leverage. And people are going to say, well, you got lucky. Your first video went viral. I can't get a viral thing. And I have 1,000 videos up. And you know what? They're right. You did get lucky and you hit it and it was good. And you don't have to have that. And I'm looking right in the eyes of my listeners, and I'm going to let Bradley argue with me or agree with me. You don't have to have that to win and win big. True or not?
No, everybody's chasing the shiny object, and I've chased it as well in different parts. And what we need to be doing is staying true to the work that we're doing and find aligned relationships. That is the key to success, everybody, is find aligned relationships. Do the thing that you're really passionate about, that you're good at, that you're pursuing mastery at, and find aligned partnerships where you can contribute into other ecosystems and not have to build your own massive platform. Everybody's trying to build their own massive platform, and there's plenty of platforms that are looking for talent out there, and you can be that talent that fills a need for them and their audience, and they will happily pay you handsomely if you strategically align that deal right.
All right. So I'm going to repeat a couple of those things, and I want you to correct them if I don't say them exactly sure. like fits you. Do the thing you are passionate about. Pursue the thing you're pursuing mastery of. And don't try to do what he described a minute ago. Change who you are to fit some pre-imagined box. Don't do that. Pursue your passion and pursue mastery, and then find aligned relationships, people who are doing something and they need that element of what you have to offer so that it can multiply both everybody's worth, value, impact, and money. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a bazillion companies and partners out there that when you've gotten your stuff to that level that you're ready, like they will be excited to engage in conversations. And I would just say the last piece, and this is where, you know, having a media company has come in handy, is if you want to be paid like a professional, then do work that's professional. So take the time to pay attention to the details. Treat this as an artistic expression. You know, anybody that's trying to build a business online, congratulations, you have a media business. That's what this is. And there's a lot of people out there that they discredit the importance of doing good work. And we got to do good work.
I love you for saying that. I love you anyway, but I love you for saying that. In the music business, when I owned a recording studio, it was in at the ending of the days of garage bands where you could do a demo in your living room and it sounded like crap and you had to find an A&R rep. A big struggle to find out who knew who and who you could get it, get somebody to listen to it, listen to your living room or garage demo, and then, you know, get a record deal. I mean, that was the thing. Then with the advent of computers and digital audio workstations and the things you have now, you can't do that anymore. You cannot submit garbage and expect somebody to jump up and down. And by garbage, I mean poorly recorded and everything else. The standard is way up here. Like it's in everybody's hands. You got a computer, laptop, a few pieces of software. You can do really good. And I'm talking about music, but he's talking about also video, art, other work. You're able to do that. So don't be satisfied with anything less than excellence. And I love what you said, if you expect to get paid like a pro.
I can hear everybody's excuses, but I'm not a producer. I don't have those skills. One, you can learn those skills. Two, it's easier than ever to learn those skills. Three, goes back to strategic partnerships and creative alliances, is I bet you know producers. Like, how many artists are out there that have all the talent in the world? They're working a crappy job they don't like. They're waiting for an opportunity to execute on their skills so that they can build a legacy piece that also provides passive income for them. So there's been certain stages in my career where I've had an idea of something that I wanted to build that was going to pave the way for the next thing. And what I would do in those situations, and how I brought Blair on, Blair Deeney, my longtime producer and buddy at the time, was like, dude, I want to do this. I feel like this is going to be a thing. Will you create this with me? Let's figure out a revenue share deal. Let's find a way to do this together as partners. And so there's been multiple occasions over my career where I didn't have the money in my bank account to hire the talent required to fulfill on the vision, but I had enough of a vision that I could communicate the plan and the potential win for everybody and figure out how do we slice up the pie if you become a partner on this project. And I would just pitch people as partners. You're going to help me build the project. Let's be partners on this and let's move forward together. You don't have to have all the money in the bank account in order to do the thing. You just have to see the vision clearly enough, communicate the plan, and you might be able to find one of those talented artists in your life who's working a job they don't like and give them an opportunity to execute their own superpowers on your project as a partner to potentially generate a bunch of revenue down the road when you guys launch this thing together. So that's like, you know, they might say no, but they also might say yes, and you might get a chance of doing it. So I would just encourage your audience and everybody listening or watching this, is like, don't limit yourself by what you don't have right now. You can do it.
Again, I'm going to say this again. Go back and listen to the last 5 minutes. because that is another masterclass in partnerships and in attitude. Because if you sit there believing you can, it's like Henry Ford, you think you can, you think you can't, you're right. So if you sit there and decide you'll never do this because you don't have this or that resource, all you're saying is, I'm unwilling to go figure out how to make this happen. I'm unwilling to go find somebody. It's not about saving a boatload of cash to go hire somebody to do this. Find a partner, because there's somebody just like you on the other side of the equation. And that's what he's teaching.
Yes. And they have complementary skill sets. And, you know, I've worked with thousands of entrepreneurs over the years, and I have seen so many of them waiting for the perfect day, waiting for everything to line up perfectly. And it never, ever comes. It's like, if you have a vision, if you believe in yourself to do the thing, then take the first action today and take one small action every day until you build enough momentum that that becomes everything that you're doing every day. You know, it's really important that if an idea is seeded inside of you, that you water it and give it the ingredients it needs to grow. If you're gonna, and sometimes ideas need to be shelved, you know, let's just say you're depleted in your energy and now's not the time to act, then focus all that energy, instead of I'm feeling guilty or wrong for not doing the thing, focus that energy on healing your body and your mind so you can come back to watering that garden that you're trying to plant. But we all have a piece of the puzzle to play right now. We're all watching the world collapse in different ways. And each of us doing our piece, whatever that might be, no matter how significant or insignificant we feel it is in the greater whole, if we're doing the thing that's seated inside of us to do, then we're doing the part that we're here to play.
So Bradley and I have not talked about this ahead of time, but I died in 2018. And I had a near-death experience and had three conversations with God at the door between life and eternity. And I wrote a book about that called Meeting God at the Door, if you're curious. But the thing I wanted to mention is four things came back with me from that visit, among others. One is that we're all intentional divine beings. Two, we all had a mission and purpose that we not only agreed to, but we were excited about. Three, we have the gifts and talents to make it happen. And four, all the help we need is available from both sides of that door. And I say that door because that's where the convos took place. And he just described that exactly from his own experience and his own feeling in different words, but it's the same thing. You have it. If you have that feeling, it may be right this minute, it may be in a minute, but taking those steps. And I love the part about, if you're not in the energy right now, heal yourself. So that is a fabulous description. And I told that little story to just endorse completely from my own experience, unrelated, exactly the same thing that you're saying.
It's amazing. Amazing. Wow. Well, now I want to ask you questions about that.
Well, we can talk about that after the show. But anyway, all right. So now, I love that you built the agency on that thing. And you've said several times, aligned with your values, aligned with your values. Look, the world is full of people who believe and want whatever they want. Selfishly, they don't care about the good for whatever. If you have a heart to add good to the world, then look until you find those that are aligned with that. Bradley, why is it so important to find people that share your values and not to compromise that?
It's just more fun. It's so much more fun when you're working with the right people, people that feel like your people, the people who genuinely are excited and feel grateful that they get to contribute to the thing that you're all building together. You know, like I'm a founder, I'm a CEO, but I can't do it without the other people I'm collaborating with. I can't build what I'm building without these relationships, which are everybody's chipping in and doing their part to this greater whole. It's just, it's magical. I feel like these last bunch of years, as I've been building our team, is like, I feel like an orchestra conductor. Is like, I can have the vision and I've got the piece in front of me that we're working on, and I'm empowering each individual within our ecosystem to like fully show up and do their piece, and to take creative ownership over their particular piece. I'm here to creatively direct and to inspire and everything, but everybody is here to contribute the best part of their gifts.
I love that. And that's an absolute recipe. And another thing that I've noticed, at least, is if you're not aligned just in what's valued, what's important and stuff, there will come a time when there are fractures and cracks and there'll be disagreement and it'll be damaging. So no matter how good something looks, make sure you know who you're getting aligned with, because a partnership means everybody's got to be pulling their weight. And I don't know about you, but I've certainly been in collaborations or partnerships where there was a complete unequal energy and, you know, desire to work and create, even though the vision of creating some money or whatever was strong at first. Mm-hmm. You know, it dissipates without that equal, you know, shared value and vision.
Clear agreements are very important when you're getting into a collaboration with somebody. Definitely.
So what I notice in your talking, you said you've done a lot of things at the intersection of education, entertainment, and personal development. And I love that, because personal development in some descriptions and in some ways feels so heavy. And yeah. You say education and entertainment. So talk a little bit about that marriage of education, entertainment, and personal development.
Yeah, the types of people that I've worked with and the types of work that I've done myself are teaching some form of life skill, helping people to evolve themselves or learn a skill. It could be, you know, learning to produce with green screen. It could be learning how to heal traumas or learning how to heal ancestral stories. Like, there's just such a vastness to the types of entrepreneurs, emergency preparedness to, you know, like how to forage for wild foods out in the forest. Like, there's so many different types of people I've worked with over the years. And I would say the where the intersection is like, okay, does this entertain them enough to want to stick around and get to the outcome that the intention of the course is? Because like online courses and online education is like the failure rate of people who sign up for an online course and actually complete is like, it's 97%, or at least that's the old stat that I recall over a decade ago. Is like, it needs to be entertaining. It needs to be inspiring if you want to facilitate a transformation. The reason my meditation library was so successful was because it was so well produced. The techniques worked. It wasn't just a bunch of fluff done at a mediocre level. And so I've always just really believed that people's lives can be significantly transformed if the right stuff is going in. If the right content, the right tools are being taught, which means these days we're competing with an algorithm that's hijacked humanity. You know, like it's the ways in which we are navigating the internet right now are just, it's wild. And the landscape is changing now that we have all this AI content. You know, AI could be making thousands of videos every single day, whereas before that would take years and years and years for a production team to be able to do. And so I feel like we're moving into a new time where people are becoming so numb to the endless feed of nonstop media interrupting their life that we're going to be moving into more of a relationship era, where people are going to be leaning more and more into live experiences and coming together and relational exchanges, that I feel like we're about to witness the entire media landscape really go through some form of transformation. I'm still not clear on what it is, but I know for myself, where I find myself gravitating most is not consumption, it's creation and relating. Like, what is the relational field that I'm leaning into, and how do we all make something better together?
That's fabulous. And you've led right into now where you wanted to go a minute ago, which was that we are poisoned. The driver of the poison we can argue about. Greed is a real characteristic. Control is another possibility. Greed or control or whatever. And you can read all kinds of dystopian books and theories if you want, whatever. But it's happening and you can see it. And one of the consequences is this numbness and the yearning inside of us that doesn't go away. And when you said taking intentional charge of what goes into us. So we have in the U.S. and to some degree here in Canada, this obesity epidemic, blood pressure epidemic, diabetes epidemic. We have a unhealthiness, and it's because of the emptiness, the poison quality, and I use that word advisedly, but almost not, of the garbage that's passed off for food. We are two beings. We are a physical being and we're an energetic being. And the consequence of the, I think the other day you called it junk food media, the garbage that we're putting in our hearts is destroying the energy part of us, just like the garbage we put in our bodies is destroying the body. So that has driven you to create something for kids, the rising generation, because you have a kid and because you care about this stuff, which is what I love about you. So talk now about that junk food media and what it's driven you to do and that place now.
Yeah. Yeah. The junk food entertainment complex is, it's a real thing. You know, you summarized it beautifully. I don't feel like I need to do that. So I have a son, Soren. He turns 10 this year. And we witnessed when he was younger, we went through a quick pivot in our life where we packed up our studio in our home and we moved. And he was pretty young then. He was about 3. And that was his first introduction to screen time, where he was getting shows on the regular while we packed and unpacked. And we saw the joy sparkle fade so fast from him, and his nervous system crash and the temper tantrums spike, and just like it was really alarming for us. So after we got settled back in, we stopped doing shows, and we tried audio as a way to trade it out. And instead of just turning on an audio story, my wife Celeste, she would put out an activity. So it'd change every day. It'd be like games, crafts, drawing projects, coloring, Play-Doh, whatever, the list goes on. And then in those like kind of decompression hours that we were giving them shows before, we tried audio stories with an activity, and we just noticed like a massive difference in less than a week. Things started to balance out in his system again. He stopped asking for the shows. He enjoyed the audios. He got to be creative. His imagination got to take off. And then I would also ask him about the stories he was listening to, and he would retain most of what happened in the stories, the characters, the journeys, the how things felt. Whereas when kids are watching shows, and these days shows are many shows, not all, are engineered to be as addictive as possible so kids keep watching. So they leave them on a cliffhanger. There's the constant flashing of like the frames changing so that it's basically putting kids into a trance so that everything's just going in. You want to brainwash a generation, that's a good way to do it, is just like flashing screens that cause kids to stop.
You know where that started?
Stop blinking.
Remember they called it the MTV cut?
Yeah.
When you had to have a scene change every 3 seconds?
Yeah, now it's probably every half a second.
Well, yeah, but I just remember that the whole thing, and it even had a name. I mean, they called it the MTV cut when I was doing video editing, and I remember that conversation. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so, you know, we got into audio stories. Even to this day, we do one show or movie per week. That's it. You know, it's Friday nights is like it's movie night, and we'll watch something as a family. And he still gets audio stories most afternoons, not every afternoon, but for us, you know, our intention as parents is to raise him to be a creator that contributes to the world, that leverages technology and media as a way to contribute and creatively express. And so we're not anti-tech, you know, I have a media company. I can't be anti-tech. We rely on technology to do the work that we do. And so as we started to go down the rabbit hole of audio, we realized that the same problem within the audio space was there's a lot of junk food entertainment. Not all of it, you know, there's a lot of good stuff. But there's also a lot of junk food entertainment that's not necessarily like offering values and life skills and helping kids to learn about the world and themselves. And so having a creative agency, 4 years ago, we launched Magic Kids, MAJIKKids.com, which is our audio entertainment and creative learning platform. It's an app, but we're also distributing across a bunch of other platforms, similar to the leveraging our life's work, like we did with my meditation library. We're doing that with Magic Kids. So we're also streaming on 50 plus other platforms with many more in conversations right now. But what we do at Magic Kids, what makes our stories, what I'm saying are like some of the best audio stories on the planet, is we do cinematic movies for the ears audio stories. So we're the first fair pay publishing company. Our goal is to help as many artists make their full-time living by contributing and devoting their work to the kids. So what makes our audio stories cinematic is we've worked with probably around 150 voice actors to date. We do casting calls every time we release a new story, and our voice actors do their submissions. So any voice actors out there that are looking for more gigs, go to magickids.com, go to our artist page and sign up so you can get casting calls to contribute to our audio stories. You know, some of our stories have five voice actors. Some of them have, we have a couple feature length audio stories that are 90 minutes long that have 26 voice actors in them. I have a full-time team of producers that also score all the music and sound effects for the stories. So that's the movies for the ears side of things. My son and I, Soren, I know he's listening right now. We've co-written 25 stories together over the last 5 years. And it's one of our most magical things that we get to do to connect and bond and hang out. And we go for walks and coffee shop dates, and we're working on story number 26 right now. And we've produced, probably co-written and produced about 35 YouTube videos that have millions of views. We do lots of comedy. And so we're just, you know, the intention is to bring to families out there, bring the magic back to families. You know, it's like there's a lot of numbing that's taking place. And audio has this incredible ability to switch on people's imaginations. Whereas like right now, if we're just consuming via the flashing screens in front of us, those screens are doing the job of hijacking a child's imagination, which is one of their greatest gifts to foster and maintain. A world without imagination is a world that basically whatever the machine tells us is what is true. And we need kids, we need everybody to have their imaginations fully switched on so that we can dream beyond the fear-based media and dream into the world that is actually possible for all of us to contribute to and create. And our imaginations need to be on. And so with Magic Kids, we're building this all-in-one audio entertainment space. So we produce incredible audio stories. We have over 1,000 kids songs. So also musicians out there, if you've got a kids album, go to our artist page. You can submit. Our goal is to help distribute your music in a way that helps you get paid. And so there's over 1,000 kids songs. That's probably going to double this year. We have a pretty amazing list of constant musicians coming to us. And then we do imagination meditations. And with each story, because, you know, we're homeschool unschoolers, we develop curriculum with every story. So creative curriculum, there's hours and hours and hours worth of really fun games, crafts, projects, activities that a family, a school, a caregiver, homeschoolers can do. So you turn on a story, kids can do something creative while they listen. And then we have tons of curriculum that are just like, here's the project, here's the supplies you need, here's how much time it takes to do. Now you can go do it. And a teacher or a parent can just facilitate that experience, and kids can try on what it was like to be the characters in that story, to integrate not the lessons and values that are subtly woven in through the story into their real life, so that instead of it just being a fun story, it becomes a way of being and a way of living in their life. Yeah, it's been awesome. This has been it's been the coolest thing that I've ever gotten to do. And to be in collaboration with my wife Celeste, who, you know, is we were talking about this before we went live, but like women have such an amazing intelligence and built-in intuition. And so she is really the litmus test of our content. We have a very clear role that we want to play right now. And in all of this red, blue division, if you go red plus blue in the color palette, that equals purple. And we're trying to be a purple path right now in this very divided world, and to bring together values and stories that like we can all get behind, because They're helping people to grow into empowered creators. They're here to spread joy and beauty to the planet that, you know, I think it's
worth it. I do. I love it. And like, you're not very excited about this. I didn't want to interrupt the flow. And so you were just going like gangbusters there. And that's so true. I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I picked this picture behind me for a reason, because it represented, you know, some of the energy that I knew you were going to bring, because I knew the questions I wanted to drive toward the agencies and the creative stuff that you're doing. And the thing you've said about imagination is the engine of growth, and the hijacking of our creative imagination, which is a divine gift, however you conceive the divine, it is. And it is our ability to love and to create and serve. And those are my three pillar words: love, create, serve, for my whole life. Yeah. And so what you've described is returning. And I love the fact that you said, okay, consuming makes us passive. So we sit, we're not mentally active, and we're not physically active. And so we are reduced to vegetables practically in that state. And the producing, that's why I love what you're doing with your son, is producing. We are in the process of producing. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. It doesn't matter. But all of that creative energy, we need it. We need it in the world. And I am so delighted. Yesterday, or the other day, after, maybe it was yesterday, when we got done, I was on another class that I was teaching. And I stopped the class and I told everybody, right now, get on your computer and go to MAJIKKIDS. And I had them all go there and look at it, because I didn't know how many of them had kids or whatever, because I wanted them to see and catch some of the vision of what you have. And listeners, I want you to do that. I want you to pay attention here. This is someone who's made a decision with his creative engine and his creative energy to add good to the world, which is a phrase you guys hear me use all the time, in a particular way to lift and bless the rising generation and those of us that are sitting around wondering what we've got left to add to the world. So I love it, and I just wanted to let him go and tell us all that story. Now, if I ask you, what didn't we talk about today in terms of either the coaching that you've given people cumulatively about owning your life and about creating anything you want, or about the agency work that you do, or about Magic Kids, or about your own personal journey, what do you want people to know that they don't know yet?
All right. I know a lot of people feel lonely. I have felt lonely at different chapters of my life. You feel like you're alone, and you know, we all have to walk our own path. And at times we are kind of alone to figure things out, and we all want more friends. I think we all want more fun. We all want to feel good in our body. We all want to, feel healthy. And so, one of the things years and years ago, I was at a retreat on my honeymoon, down in Arizona. We were at a hot spring, and I met a couple guys who are good friends of mine now, and they were whacking a little ball back and forth with their hands. And it was a small hand woven ball, and they called this game Chi Ball. And I played and I loved it. It was the fastest way I've ever experienced finding a flow state in any game I'd ever played. And, you know, some people find their flow state through playing music or writing or, you know, playing their sport or whatever it is. And so I didn't think much of it. 5 years passed or 4 years passed, and we moved into our new home. And underneath the foundation of the house, I found a Chi ball that was a larger version of it, but it was like a 6-inch hand woven rattan ball. Now, these balls originate from Southeast Asia. They're a game there called Sipak Takraw, and it's like volleyball with your feet. They do backflips and stuff. So I ended up taking this ball everywhere because I loved it so much. And I made friends with strangers everywhere I went as a result of bringing this ball, because the ball acted as a vehicle to melt the ice in public situations where normally people wouldn't talk to each other, or there's the awkward small talk stuff. And I'm a guy that I like to play. I love games. I love playing. I love having fun and engaging with people. It's one of the, like, my soul's languages. And so Fast forward, I started a men's group. We played cheball twice a week, oftentimes. We developed a bunch of rules and officialized the game. And this, the actual full story of this is on our website, playcheball.com. But essentially, if you want to have more fun and you want to make friends with strangers, play cheball. Go to playcheball.com. This ball will transform your life. We're launching neighborhood leagues around North America. This little hand-woven ball, it's the greatest $30 investment you'll ever make. It comes a little play cheball carabiner. You put it on your backpack. You put it on your belt loop. You take the ball everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, people say, what's with the ball? You say, this is a cheball. They say, how do I play? I've got a hat on if you're watching the video. Rule one's keep it up. Rule two, don't say sorry. Optional push-up if you do. Why don't say sorry? Because every rally ends with the ball hitting the ground. Every single one for the history of the game. And there's no apologies. It's a no-shame game. Anybody can play keep it up. It's like playing with a balloon, but the ball falls a little bit faster. And then rule three is have fun. And if you want to play competitively, which you can, it's races to 100 hits. If the ball hits the ground, you lose 10 points. If it bounces once, you keep the rally alive, you lose 5. This is one of the funnest things you can possibly do. Go to your park, go to your beach, take it to your school. And what we need is like a united humanity, regardless of ideologies. And I've played in, you know, thousands of circles over the years with people from every single walk of life you can imagine, from homeless to bazillionaires and everything in between. And there's something so magical that happens where everybody is just being joyful. Strangers are being joyful and laughing together and playing, and you learn about each other. And all there is like this shared humanity and shared intention of like everybody doing their part to keep the ball in the air. And so I just wanted to say that, because this is one of the other thing movements that I am one of the sparks of. And it's the simplest way to like get out into the world and start to engage with strangers that I've ever experienced, which is why we're spreading the game.
All right. So I want you to go there, playcheeball.com, magickids.com. There are an app that with the same name. Bradley is a package of energy and love. And if you want to catch some, go to these places and participate. Bradley, thank you for being here today with me.
Thank you so much. I love your heart. I love what you're doing in the world with bringing messages like this through your platform and all the books that you're writing. Like, you are such a prolific creator that is bringing so much magic to people's lives. And I just really appreciate that about you.
Well, thank you for that. Listeners, I want you to listen again to this. There were a couple of really good masterclasses Bradley gave you about business and several things about life. And I can tell you, from my experience and from what he shared, it is within your power right this minute to move forward and to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.